Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A blessed Epiphany to all of you. As you know, yesterday was Epiphany, January 6th. And there are only three Sundays in the Epiphany season this year. Then we start into the three Sundays of what we call the Jessima season, and then we're already in Lent. So we'll do what we can with this short Epiphany season this year to see what God reveals to us in Scripture. Because as that hymn that we just sang put it, it's a dim revealing that we see in the life of Jesus, the secret of God, that Jesus, the child in the manger, Jesus, the boy in the temple, Jesus, the man walking about the land of Israel, was not just a man. He was true God. And at various points throughout his life, there are dim revealings of Jesus' divinity, his divine identity that lay hidden behind his humanity. Today we have one of those dim revealings. Not revealed to everyone, as it says, what not revealed to the doctors of the law. They saw something amazing in Jesus that day in the temple. But it was Mary who kept those things and pondered them in her heart, who more and more recognized that divinity in her son. It was no surprise to her. She knew where her son came from. Joseph knew as well. Very few others did at that time. But the divinity of Jesus still could escape Mary and Joseph's thinking enough that they could leave the city of Jerusalem without the Son of God. Imagine losing your own child in a big city that you only visit occasionally in the times of today, much less in the times in which Mary, Joseph, and Jesus lived. And then imagine that your son, or your, well, in this case it would have to be your son, was also the Son of God. That left them terrified. And so they went back looking for Jesus. Now, we'll take a step back before this event happened. What are we told? That Mary and Joseph went down to Jerusalem every year to observe the Passover feast, which was several days set aside once a year. As you recall, they were to take a lamb and set it aside and take care of the lamb for a few days. And then at the twilight on the day of Passover, they were to slaughter it. No longer did they paint any of the blood above the doorframes of their houses as the Israelites did back in the land of Egypt for the first Passover. But still, they were to take that lamb and sacrifice it every year. The fact that Mary and Joseph made that journey down from Nazareth to Jerusalem every year itself tells us something important. They observed the Old Testament law. They did what God told them to do. They sacrificed quite a bit to do it because it was a 4 or 5 day walk down from Nazareth down to Jerusalem in not the best of conditions. Add to that the lost wages of not working for what had to be over 2 weeks in order to make the journey there and back and then spend the Passover days in Jerusalem. And the fact that this excursion was not a vacation, was not for getting away and taking a break, but to observe the rites and the rituals that God commanded in the Old Testament surrounding Passover, to attend the ceremonies in the temple, to hear the word of God, to sing the psalms of ascent as they went to Jerusalem for that feast, to focus on God's deliverance of Israel, which was always to be a picture of the true deliverance that the Lamb of God, Jesus, would carry out. When Jesus was 12, he accompanied Mary and Joseph to that Passover. And just imagine, the same city, the same temple, the same boy, only 21 years older, would be there giving his life as the Lamb of God. But now when he's 12, Jesus is there with his parents. And when it's all over and the days of the Passover are finished and they've observed all the rites, for whatever reason, Mary and Joseph don't make sure that Jesus is with them. Now, they have been good parents. They have been observing the laws of God. They have loved their son and maybe other children of theirs as well. We don't know for sure. But this omission shows us how much they didn't have it in the front of their mind that every day we are caring for the very Son of God and the Savior of the world. If they had had that present in their mind every moment of every day, it would have made parenting nearly impossible. And so they didn't think about it all the time. They trusted that Jesus was simply in their company, and that also shows us how obedient of a son he always was. They didn't have to worry about him. As it says at the end of this gospel, Jesus was obedient to them and was subject to them. Even though he made the stars, he made himself subject to the authority of the parents whom God his Father had given him as a man. His obedience to his parents, his perfect love for them is not only an example to us, it's what makes him our Savior. It's part of what we need in a Savior, someone who's the same as us, born like us, a human being, born under the law, as we heard last week in the epistle, but who kept the law perfectly. It's part of being a substitute for those who don't keep the law perfectly, like you and I. It's part of what we needed in a substitute, in a Savior, because the animal substitutes who were slaughtered in the Old Testament never could actually atone for sin. They pointed to the real substitute who could atone for sin because he was like us, a human being and yet perfect like God. Now, Adam and Eve could have been perfect too, but they chose not to be. And ever since then, you and I can't even choose perfection. We can strive for it, but we can't achieve it as sinful human beings. Jesus was able to achieve it, though, as the very Son of God. And what's more, we see another glimpse of his divinity in what he did there in the temple when he stayed in Jerusalem. Now, Mary and Joseph, when they finally realized he wasn't with them, had gone a whole day's journey away from Jerusalem so that it was nighttime. They couldn't travel back at night. They had to wait till the next day. So they traveled back the day's journey to Jerusalem the next day, didn't find Jesus still that day, probably checked at the places where they had stayed during their time there. And then finally on the third day, they checked the temple and retraced their steps there. And that's where they found him, not playing around, not exploring, sitting among the adult teachers of the law. And not just sitting there and playing games, sitting there listening to them, asking them questions and answering their questions, and were given not the exact questions and answers that he gave, but the general impression that he had on the people around him. They were astonished at his understanding and at his answers. Again, that wasn't enough to tell those rabbis, those teachers of the law, this must be the Son of God. But it was enough to make them take notice of him. And it became enough for Jesus' disciples one day, for his parents, for you and me, to understand who this man, this human child was, not just a man, but the very Son of God. The Son of God, who then did what every son of man should have done, who loved God's word more than anything, who was committed to the affairs or the things of his Father more than anything, who truly loved with a genuine love for the teaching of God, for the truth of God, for the words and works of God. And there again is Jesus as both a human being, but also as God, doing the things that you and I should do but don't. And so we've earned God's wrath as parents who don't parent perfectly, as children who don't children perfectly, as human beings who don't follow the commandments of God with our whole heart all the time. Condemnation and death is what we deserved, but instead our substitute stepped forward, Jesus, true God and true man, loved God's word perfectly, submitted to his parents perfectly, and in that obedience, which was part of his whole life obedience, and in his death on the cross, earned for us the forgiveness of sins and release from the condemnation and death that we deserved. Now, as Jesus has become the perfect sacrifice for our sins, we who believe in him and who have received his salvation are counted by God as righteous through faith in Christ Jesus. And we have a holy calling now from God, as St. Paul wrote in today's epistle to the Romans, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Not dying sacrifices like the Old Testament animals that were slaughtered, not a dying sacrifice as Jesus had to die on the cross, but living sacrifices so that each day you live as a sacrifice to God with your whole body, with your whole life. And it's a holy and pleasing sacrifice that God accepts, not for sin, to atone for sin, because that sacrifice was done by the God-man, Jesus. This is a different kind of sacrifice. Even as in the Old Testament, there were different kinds of sacrifices. There were sacrifices to atone for sin, but there were also sacrifices of thanksgiving. And that's what these sacrifices are to be, the sacrifice of your whole life every day as a sacrifice of thanksgiving to our God. So, parents, as your daily living sacrifice of thanksgiving, be the fathers and mothers God has called you to be. As Paul writes, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." That requires spending time with them, teaching them everything you can, teaching them the Ten Commandments and the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Keep urging them by word and example to grow into godly men and godly women who don't just attend church regularly, but who show a genuine interest in God's word, a firm commitment to sound doctrine, a zeal for knowing God and discussing the things of God. Children, as your daily living sacrifice of thanksgiving, as Paul wrote, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Learn obedience. Learn to honor your parents, not just outwardly, but with your attitude and in your heart. And Christians of all ages, make it your goal to imitate the Lord Jesus in all the ways you can. You can't imitate him in being God, but you can imitate him in the things he did as a human being. You can imitate him in being good, honest, dependable, humble, caring, kind, generous, and submissive to those in authority over you. You can devote yourself to living as children of God in a godless world, who are eager to hear their Father's word, who love God's word more than anything, just like Jesus did at 12 years old and throughout his entire life. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.